We're at a National Weather Service forum in Nome focused on how people use forecasts in rural Alaska. Anama Shannon is the environmental coordinator with Kowarik. She says there's sometimes a mismatch between the weather information rural Alaskans receive and the situation on the ground.
Sometimes we'll get like an email or a phone call from somebody in Anchorage like, hey, you guys, you're going to get a big storm. We're like, yeah, it's been going on for the last 4 hours. So there's just a lot of local knowledge that's, you know, amazing.
That's the sort of thing Ed Plum says NWS is trying to tap into. He's a meteorologist at the Fairbanks Forecast Office, which serves about half the state's land area from the Yukon River northward. Plum says the goal is to get forecasters out into rural communities more often.
We're trying to engage more with the people in the community and get a better understanding of local conditions, you know, specific weather or microclimates that impact the people at these communities. Connecting, you know, the voice to a face, it definitely built, you know, the relationship and trust in each other.
One example, he says, was coastal flooding forecasts in Gullivan this winter. His team talked to Gullivan Public Works Director Peter Olson to develop language that's specific to the community.
He would refer to how high the water was relative to the grass line and, you know, whether it was like 2 or 3 feet above the grass line or below the grass line. For us, that's a great way to convey how high the water may get during an event to the community.
Outreach like this is what Plum and Carvin Scott, the NWS Alaska Region Director, say can happen more as funds are freed up from the switch to automatic weather balloons. Scott has been at NWS for 35 years, and he says they've been gradually automating jobs for decades.
We're doing things now by computer that I used to do by hand. And that is just the inevitable march of progress that we in the Weather Service and certainly in the federal government have to be cognizant of how we use our resources most effectively and efficiently.
Activities that used to be manual include most of the weather observations and forecast modeling and writing. Now, Scott says it's weather balloons' turn.
We're capitalizing on this new technology that has proved itself around the world to be as reliable, if not more reliable, than what we do with manual launches.
So far, two auto launcher systems have been brought online, the first in Kodiak last fall, and now the second in Fairbanks last month. The systems are manufactured by a Finnish company called Visala, and each cost about $1.2 million to install. According to NOAA, weather technicians at the rural offices are paid between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. Scott says the plan is to have the systems in place at the rest of the 13 rural Alaska weather stations in the next 2 years, including in Nome, Kotzebue, Bethel, and Ukiagvik, and reduce staff at each from 3 to 1.
What this was going to allow us to do is going to reinvest the personnel, which is really our most precious asset, and retrain them in some cases so that we can then better meet the current and emerging needs and requirements we see here in Alaska.
What are those emerging needs? Increased marine transportation and ecotourism, resource extraction, and national security are the big ones, he says. And improving things like the Sea Ice Program, Marine Forecast Program, and Aviation and River Forecasts are top priorities for reassigning staff. But Jim Brader thinks this might not be so great for rural Alaska. He's a longtime meteorologist at the Fairbanks Forecast Office, and he's also the Alaska Region Chair for the National Weather Service Employees Organization.
The office in Fairbanks is at about a 25% staffing shortage for the last 2 years, and the positions that have been taken out of those rural offices, none of those have been moved into Fairbanks.
His biggest fear, he says,
that we're going to lose touch with what's really going on the ground in most of Alaska. Most of Alaska is rural.
Brader also worries that automated systems aren't as reliable as they're talked up to be.
There's times where they just report the wrong thing, like they report rain when it's 10 below zero and clear. And sometimes report snow when it actually is rain.
And he says removing trusted staff who know the rural communities personally could be as much of a loss. Staff like Jerry Steiger, former manager of the Nome Weather Service office.
Jerry would get weather forecasts from us, give feedback to us, and then communicate that to the people there in Nome and be able to answer their questions. And having somebody who they knew very well, and he was in the fire department and helped with search and rescues, I think gives a much higher reliability to the local staff than having someone like me who's never been to Nome give them that feedback.
Current staff at the Nome office declined to be interviewed on record, saying they didn't want to risk their jobs by speaking about the changes. But Ed Plum at the Fairbanks office agrees it can be helpful to have that local presence.
Because they're familiar with some of these local microclimates. If you go to the east towards Johnson's Camp, east of Nome, you know that in a certain wind regime that you may have winds that are twice as strong as those you may see in Nome. So we're tapping into the knowledge that the local office may know.
For people like Judy Martinson, who dredges for gold in Nome, that kind of detailed information to add to the forecast can be essential.
We live and die by the weather, period. We have to know wave height, we have to know swell information, we have to know swell spacing. And then you really take your best guess, or you get the dice out and you throw it against the wall and you say, should we go in 1 hour or should we stay out 6 more hours? Is this wind going to come up now? Can we make it around the corner back into the harbor and not be slammed against the rocks? It's so incredibly life-threatening out there.
But Martinson says she doesn't necessarily use NWS's marine forecasts because they're not detailed enough. And Philip Prismont echoes that sentiment. He's a commercial fisherman in Nome.
Quite honestly, I don't know if they could do any worse of a job.
Prismont says he still listens to the NWS weather forecasts over the VHF, but that NWS wind speed predictions for the Norton Sound area are some of the least reliable in Alaska. He said he mostly relies on a website called Windy for information, and that staff cuts in Nome wouldn't cause much of a problem for him. The NWS marine forecasts will be getting a boost soon, thanks to a new buoy that's going to be installed off the port of Nome. Here's the National Weather Service's Plum again.
A buoy in Norton Sound would be absolutely amazing, because right now in the Northern Bering Sea, we do not have any buoys, so we have absolutely no idea of what the actual conditions are out in the water unless we get a ship observation.
According to Nome Harbor Master Lucas Stotz, the buoy is a partnership with the Alaska Ocean Observing System. But he says there's still lots to be worked out.
All the details on how are we going to anchor it, what exact position is going to go in, when is it going to come online, what information is going to provide, those sort of things. It'll be really great benefit when we have it. It's just really slow getting on its feet right now.